What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode one of Shell and Tell, where all we talk are Terp sports with a dose of BS opinion. I'm your host, Fred Donahue, and joining me as always is my co-host, my friend, and longtime Terp season ticket holder, Ryan Schammel. What's going on, Ryan?
I'm so excited. I'm like tailgate ready, decked out head to toe.
Head to toe.
Can't wait for this first episode to go.
Oh, you and me both, man. Excited to kick this podcast off on the right foot, lining up a special guest already on our first real episode, man. Super excited.
I can't thank him enough for joining us on our first episode. It should really help get the word out there and spread the love for these Terps.
For those that haven't checked it out already, Ryan and I kind of recorded what we called episode zero, basically just an intro episode to tell you a little bit about us and our background and how this whole thing kind of came about, what our intentions are with the show. So if you have already listened, thank you. If not, be sure to go check it out. You can find the show currently on Apple Podcasts and Podbean. We're working to get it out there across more platforms, but it takes a little bit of time to make that happen. Make sure while you're there, hit the subscribe button and leave us a rating and review. That's what really helps us grow, helps us find a little bit more exposure out there. But without hesitation, let's dive into what we're going to cover on this week's show. We're going to talk a little bit about the new look offense for this year's football team. Definitely some things to be excited about as a Terps fan.
There's definitely things to be excited about. We saw a little touch of it at the spring game that we'll talk about.
Yeah,
and there's
sure.
Also the picture clearing up a little bit more recently.
And then as we talked about earlier, joining us this week to talk about his journey that led him to UMD, incoming freshman wide receiver Dino Tomlin.
I'm so excited to have Dino on this show. He's going to be a freshman wide receiver for us, and of course the son of Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach. Big name in the program.
Very excited to have him on the show. And then to wrap up, we're going to cover some of the new guys coming in for this year's men's basketball team. And of course, talk a little Bruno Fernando and the NBA draft and where he ended up.
He ended up exactly where I wanted him to go, in Atlanta, about 20 picks later than I wanted him to be there.
Looks like the Atlanta Hawks are building a Terps NBA squad down there.
We'll have to plan a road trip to Atlanta for the
Let's make that Terps happen, thing. Man. I'm for it. All right, so we all know there's been a lot of changes with this university, a lot of changes with this football program specifically. Mike Locksley comes in. He's the new head coach, guy that's got a lot of Maryland ties, a lot of roots to the DMV, obviously came in as a big recruiter. There was a lot of excitement with that hire, and you know, we've seen some things already right out of the bat. We knew going into this season some of our strengths on offense, right? One of the big strengths, running backs.
Our running backs are so deep. We have to be the deepest group in the nation.
For sure.
Top two, we can compete with anybody. In top five, there is no one in the nation that has these running backs.
Well, one guy that ended up having a really good Terps career and saw his NFL draft dreams become reality this past season, Ty Johnson, ends up getting picked in the sixth round by the Detroit Lions. This is a guy that could go in there day one and challenge for some carries.
That's true. I think you're looking at a Johnson backfield. Kerryon and Ty going to be splitting by week eight.
Yeah, I mean, that could very well happen. I mean, this kid, again, he's going to bring a lot of versatility. You know, with the 4.3 speed that he has, the ability to be able to be a kick returner, a punt returner, we could see a lot of Ty in his first year as a rookie.
Definitely going to contribute. It's just whether we get him on that starting offense.
For sure. Now, one guy that kind of burst on the scene for the Terps last year and cut into some of Ty's carries, Anthony McFarland. This is a kid that I think, and I have a lot of hopes for going into the season, could challenge for the Doak Walker Award for the best running back in the nation.
Yeah, this is kind of the reason we bring up Ty so much, is you have to understand how good Ty is to understand what Anthony brought last year. So Ty had 137 attempts in 2017, cut down to 66 attempts
wow.
in 2018. That's because Anthony McFarland had 131. He took all those carries from an NFL caliber running back.
And that's kind of my worry going into this season is, again, we're in that same position where we have this stable of running backs that really, I think the only two things that could hold McFarland up from being one of the top running backs in the nation, obviously one, the unspeakable, the injury. That'll be the last time we talk about that.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that at all.
And then secondly, this stable of running backs, the depth, we could see the very same thing happen to McFarland's carries that happened to Ty Johnson's carries last year. I don't think we'll see as dramatic of a fall off because McFarland is just a special running back. But when you got guys like Teyon Fleet Davis and Javon Leak coming in, who you and I saw a lot of during the spring game, Leak looks like he could be the real deal too.
Leak Team Blackshirt himself ran both ways the entire game, and they did not cut this man a break. It looked like a punishment, but apparently it was just training.
Right. And I mean, last year in the limited carries that he had, what, 34 attempts, but he was averaging almost 10 yards a clip in those 34 attempts.
And 7 touchdowns.
Right. I mean, this kid was all over the field. And then you got, you know, the veterans that have kind of been around for the past couple of years that could be the forgotten guys in this stable of running backs. Lorenzo Harrison, who he had kind of an off year last year, a little bit tweaked, you know, as injury far as plagued. Injury goes, right? Jake Funk, he was kind of the guy that we thought might be like a fullback or hybrid type role. But last year, again, he was another guy that had some injuries. He comes back fully healthy. I mean, this depth at running back could be a problem for a lot of defenses in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you're looking at Lorenzo Harrison and Jake Funk's stats last year. They're terrible. You got 84 yards on 10 attempts for Lorenzo Harrison. And Jake Funk, -2 yards on 2 attempts.
Again, the injuries kept
him out. The injuries obviously are plugging them there. But 2 years ago, you got 137 attempts for Lorenzo Harrison at 4.5 yards a carry. And 3 years ago, 633 yards at 7.2 in average. And Jake Funk, you're talking 145 yards on 27 and 136 on 29. They were productive, and we thought they were going to increase, and they only decreased. Now, the big reason Lorenzo could increase is his head coach from high school, Elijah Brooks, is now in the fold at University of Maryland as the running back coach.
That's right.
So he was both head coach for Anthony McFarland and and Lorenzo Harrison. So we should be able to see some maybe things get back to how he trained in high school. Maybe he knows him a little better than the coaching staff's had, and hopefully we can unlock that cheat code.
And then obviously we talked about it earlier, the changes with Mike Locksley coming in and his new offensive system that's going to be out there. It's going to be a totally different look offense than what we're used to. He does like to get the running backs the ball out of the backfield in their hands and in space. And a guy that we can't forget to mention, Teyon Fleet Davis, he's really the next guy in line that could really cut some carries away from McFarland.
Yeah, last year, if you go straight statistics, you're looking at Anthony McFarland being left and then Teyon Fleet Davis right down the line. Again, we expect some big things from Leak that might flip-flop because surprise and have a huge season.
For sure. I mean, this guy could be a goal line type guy. We should see. I think we'll see a lot of him and Leak both, you know, in that red zone type offense. McFarland's going to be the 20-20 guy. He's going to be the big play guy to get you the chunk yardage. But I think once we get down into the red zone type thing, that's where you'll see some of these other guys come in, the Fleet Davises and the Javon Leaks and that kind of thing.
And with all these weapons, you got to have more than one back in the backfield a lot.
For sure. So we talked about the spring game, and you and I got a chance to go down there and check that out, had a lot of fun. It was kind of a limited roster, though. We didn't get to see a lot of the big names that we were hoping to see.
Well, you got Locksley starting late this year, no early signing period, therefore no early enrollees. He had a lot of grad transfers, obviously had to finish up graduating before they could come in, so we didn't see a lot of the guys we'll see playing this fall.
I think one of the things that we were hoping to see was what this new look offense might look like, especially under, you know, Terrell Pigram coming in. We expected him maybe to be the starter as he was the starter last year, but there were some question marks whether or not he was going to play in that game, and he didn't. So we ended up seeing two guys that you and I hadn't seen a whole lot of, Blake Bortenschlager, who feels like he's been there for 10 years.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit too much of Blake Bortenschlager. He's been around a long time. He's always a backup, but yet we have so many injuries. He plays every year.
And then on the other side of the ball, we got to see Tyler Dessous, the red-shirted freshman, come in, who you and I left very impressed with this kid.
Yeah, this kid out of Virginia Beach really turned some heads. I mean, I don't know if it's just the competition. Maybe our defense was weak, but I doubt it. His kid was slinging the ball.
He just looked very confident and cool and calm in the pocket for such a young kid. He had pretty good command of the offense. He was able to throw the ball into some tight windows. And I think one of the things that left me most impressed was his decision-making. He was able to get outside of the pocket. Now, mind you, this kid had the yellow jersey on.
Yeah,
they weren't allowed to hit him. It's a little different. But he was able to move around in the pocket and make plays with his feet and also throw the ball accurately on the move.
And he seemed to make the decisions right. You know, he was throwing first, running second, and when you tucked it, there was nothing available.
Right. Now, obviously, quarterback obviously is the most important position on a football squad, and this team's going to have some decisions to make coming into this year. We ended up getting another transfer from Virginia Tech, a dual threat quarterback in Josh Jackson. What can we expect out of this kid?
Well, again, in this program, we don't know. We've never seen him in this offense, but he was really good as a freshman at Virginia Tech before it was derailed by injuries. And he still has 2 years of eligibility, so he will definitely be in the running for starter and could be 2 years with Locks.
And then Loxley brings in one of his very first signings as head coach here at University of Maryland, gets a commitment from a four-star quarterback, another dual threat guy, Lance Lejeune, out of Louisiana. This kid looks like he's the real deal as well.
He looks like he would really be the future of Maryland. Now, I would hope that we will be healthy enough and deep enough in those first three. We won't see a lot of him.
Right.
The redshirt freshman rule allowing him to play four games. We'll see bits and pieces. But, you know, people have been butchering this kid's name. And I'm going to be referring him to Lance the Legend.
I like it. Make sure
we don't ruin that. And hopefully we can wish them well in his future.
That's right. Don't want to give the kid too much pressure putting the word legend out there, but the name just
He's already heard it, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'm not that creative.
But I don't want to give up on Terrell Pigram. I think this kid, you know, he was the Gatorade Athlete of the Year out in Alabama in high school. And, you know, we see flashes with him that he can make some plays. But we didn't get to see what he's going to look like in this new look offense. This new look offense where he's kind of out, getting in space and using tight ends, that's something that we haven't really seen since the Vernon Davis days.
Oh, I miss Vernon something fierce. We haven't had an athlete like that on the team in a while, but I think that you're going to see a lot more tight ends with the people we got on the field. The spring game, we had more yards and touchdowns in one game than we had all of last season for the tight ends.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah, we had some guys that ended up transferring out. We had some guys that transferred in. Some names that I think will end up working well into this offense, and we'll kind of see how that happens.
Tyler Mabry is a grad transfer from Buffalo. Interesting fact with him, in high school, he worked out with Josh Jackson in a few camps. So if there's a little bit of connection there, if Josh Jackson ends up being the starter, could lend him to be more of a starter role.
Now, Josh Jackson is the name that, you know, everybody's kind of wanting to see. We haven't heard a whole lot about him yet. I mean, like we said, we talked about it earlier, him coming from Virginia Tech, being that dual threat quarterback. Do you think that he lines up day one prior to going into actual camp? Do you think he lines up day one as a starting quarterback?
I think for the look of things, you just pick for that way. And I think that means Pigram will be starter going into camp. And then people have to beat out Pigram. That's just, you know, to keep the locker room and to show and not just go, I'm picking my guy over the guys that were here. I think Loxley has to go with Pigram as the starter day one, but it'll be a pretty even split with especially those two. And in our opinion, Tyler Dessou could compete for it.
That's very true. And I think, speaking of competition, one position we'll probably see a lot of competition at this year will be the wide receiver position. And we don't really have too many seasoned veterans, but two playmakers, two guys that we will see involved heavily in the offense this year, senior wide receiver DJ Turner, and then sophomore, I believe he's a sophomore wide receiver, Jason Jones, who exploded onto the scene last year in his Texas game. What can we expect from these two guys?
Well, you said Texas was a show you don't see. His very first three touches as a collegiate player were touchdowns. One rushing, one passing, one receiving. And nobody does that. That is the thing of legends. So I don't know if we could ever expect him to live up to that every game, but hopefully we'll see that once this year. I'm going to see a lot of them all over the field. He's going to be one of your number one weapons. I called him the X Factor during that game. Kept chanting it.
Now, the thing with him is, obviously, with the changes in the offense, we're not going to see him lined up as a quarterback very often. At least I hope not, because that speaks to the play of some of our other quarterbacks. But will we see him in a similar role, used as kind of a wide receiver and an H-back out of the backfield, or do you think we'll see him primarily as a wide receiver this year?
As we talked about, we have plenty of weapons in the backfield, so you're not going to see him lined up as a halfback. He will get a couple carries. The jet sweep's got to keep the defense honest.
Right.
Maybe there'll be the gadget play. He is pretty good at throwing the ball, apparently, one for one for a touchdown. But, you know, that's a gadget play, and that's all it ever will be.
Now, do you think DJ Turner will be more of an outside guy, or do you think we see him lined up in the slot, or, you know, a little all over the field?
So there were big expectations for DJ Turner last year. He had a pretty solid year, but I don't think either his expectations were met or the coaches. They really kept trying to feed him and just basically replace DJ Moore with him, which are some huge shoes to fill.
Agreed.
But hopefully he will pick up and be a top prospect for us.
Now, during the spring game, you and I got a chance to look at some guys, some incoming freshmen, and even some guys that we haven't seen a whole lot from yet. One of those guys was sophomore wide receiver Dante Demas, a big body wide receiver, 6'4", 203, a guy that played very, very physical, demanded the football. I liked what I saw out of this kid.
Yeah, the kid could block. The kid got a lot of jump balls. You really saw him working hard and kind of dominating over his teammates. You just saw the fire for the game. I really liked it. He was a unexpected treasure, kind of like Tyler Dessou. We weren't really thinking that would be one of the highlights.
Right. And then we did land a flip on recruitment out from WVU. Freshman wide receiver Isaiah Hazel coming in. This is a kid that you have some pretty high expectations for.
Yeah, he's a 4-star local kid, wide receiver talent, so it's always good to keep them home. So again, we have a few people ahead of him, but with that talent, he could jump up into that starting rotation.
100% agree. And then another guy that we have some expectations for here in Baltimore, a guy that's our first guest on the show for Shell and Tell, wide receiver Dino Tomlin. All right, so joining us now to talk some Terps and talk some wide receiver, freshman wide receiver Dino Tomlin. Dino, appreciate you joining the show, man.
Man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Before we talk too much about this upcoming season, man, we want to talk a little bit about your recruitment process. I know, you know, through that entire process, there were a lot of schools showing some interest. What was that overall process like for you?
It was all right. It wasn't nothing too crazy. A lot of it was late, too. I say that. Going through them combines and whatnot, all that stuff was late. So,
okay, your unofficial visit at Maryland and commitment came during last season, a time of turmoil and uncertainty for our program. What drew you to the Terps as a whole?
I wanted to play in the Big Ten. And it's not too, we're not too far from where I'm from, Pittsburgh. So it was just the right spot for me.
Sounds good. A lot of big stadiums, go on tour and show off what you got, right?
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
So you have a unique perspective as one of the few commits before all the changeover with Loxley coming in as the new head coach and whatnot. What ultimately, I mean, you see it a lot in college football when regimes change like that. Usually some players end up transferring out. What ended up keeping you here with the Terps under Loxley?
Well, I was actually excited that we were getting him. I after talking to him, I knew that he trusted in me and he was interested in working with me. So I was obviously interested in working with him. I wasn't going to like decommit right after they hired and fired, you know, right after they switched. So, I wanted to, like, you know, look at it, see what was going on and whatnot. But also, I really didn't want to decommit and recommit and do all that musical chairs type of deal.
Right.
I had been, like, committed for about a month before they hired him. So, like, I had already been, like, focusing on other things. And I didn't want to have to, you know, you don't want to have to go through that process again. It's not really that fun.
Right.
Some people really enjoy the recruitment process and all the attention and all that type of stuff, but I mean, it's really unnecessary.
You probably had enough attention through your family over the years. You weren't interested in all that, right?
I mean, not necessarily that. I just try to play ball and then let all that other stuff handle itself, because it always handles itself.
Well, from watching your highlight film in high school, you were used in many different ways. I mean, you were used at wide receiver, cornerback, punt return, kick return. You were used all over the field. Are you hoping to kind of be used in that same type of role here at Maryland?
I would assume that'd be like a similar case. I'll probably play more slot here than I did back home. Mainly because my size, it also gives me some matchup advantages.
Right.
Probably won't play defense, but I mean, who knows? It's college football. You never really know what's going to happen.
That's true.
I'd like to get back in the return game too, but we haven't talked about all that yet, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. The University of Maryland has done pretty well putting wide receivers into the league. Torrey Smith, Stephon Diggs, DJ Moore, and I'm sure you're familiar with Hayward Bay from your dad's team.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
So what does Dino Tomlin have to do to be the next one in the NFL?
I just got to keep working hard, eliminate distractions from my life. That's just kind of the main thing. I feel like the way our process set up here at Maryland, if I do what I need to do and stay focused, listen to Joker, Coach Locks, Coach Montgomery, I feel like I'll be in the right spot to make that leap when I'm ready.
Now, I think I might know the answer to this question, but I got to ask it. Is there any particular game on this upcoming schedule that might have a little extra oomph for you going into this season?
To be honest, the first game I get in is probably going to have the most oomph into it, just because it's like, I just remember going into high school, my first high school game, first time I touched the field, I was nervous and whatnot. I feel like I might have a similar experience bumping up to college. I don't really care about half the opponents we're playing. Most of them didn't all, so I don't like any of them at all. And they're not Maryland, so they're not Maryland. I'm not banging with them, so.
I like it. I can dig it. Well, I mean, obviously living out in Pittsburgh, I'm sure that I don't know if Penn State ever came knocking or not, or, you know, what was kind of going on out there in Pittsburgh. But do you have a little extra edge going up against any of those, especially being another Big Ten school?
Not necessarily because it's Penn State, but my friend plays for Penn State.
Okay.
So that would be fun if I get to see him play against him. But Penn State as a whole, I don't really care about Penn State.
I like that. We don't either. We just want to see him suffer.
Pitt's the main team. Anybody care about Penn State and Pittsburgh?
All right.
Okay.
All right. So I find the role in social media has really grown, especially under Locksley. With the powerful tool at your fingertips, do you believe that yourself or other players have any influence in recruiting?
I would say someone like Nick Cross.
Yeah.
Probably has a lot of pull, given that he's from around here, and he's like a big time recruit, and he chose to stay home. Someone like me probably doesn't have as much because I'm not from here, and it's harder to get like Pittsburgh kids to come down here. But someone like Nick Cross, for sure, he got a lot of pull, especially with social media. I feel like not only like in this area, but like nationwide, he can make a lot of moves with his Twitter fingers, you know.
Yeah, it's been fun watching what he does on Twitter. I wouldn't sell yourself short, though. You can come pull some of those players for us.
As a freshman wide receiver coming in, has there been any seniors or any veteran guys that have kind of taken you under their wings so far, DJ Turner being a guy?
I mean, a little bit, but we haven't – we only see them Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
Like, we don't work out with them. At least yet, we haven't worked out with them during the week. When we get back from 4th of July, I'll jump in with them. So we'll see how that – I'm sure somebody will, but I only see them twice a week. So, I don't really get to run into them and get a whole bunch of tips and whatnot.
Right.
But the time I have had with them, all of them been real helpful with me, getting in the playbook and working on my technique and whatnot.
All right. Well, you mentioned Pittsburgh. So your lead recruiter at Maryland is now coaching at Pittsburgh. Has there been any increased calls for you to head back home, and how you've been handling this pressure?
I wouldn't say there's any pressure to go back home. I wouldn't say anybody's like trying to tell me to come back, but and I'm definitely happy here. But I would say that with how the transfer portal is right now, my interactions with like coaches that used to recruit me is probably different than what I thought it would be. Because you can tell that they like, you know, they're not obviously like out here recruiting people, but like they'll be like, if you need anything, let me know, type, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Stay in touch, keep the.
I think that's just a sign of the times with the transfer portal and whatnot.
All right, so I got to ask a question. I don't want it to make it about your dad or anything, but from the outside looking in, your dad seems like a pretty intense guy. What was it like having an NFL coach as a father and being kind of surrounded by the NFL growing up as a kid?
That was probably not as much. The NFL part probably wasn't as much. Like, obviously, I've seen a lot of stuff dealing with football, both on and off the field and whatnot, but I'd say the biggest thing about it was like being my dad being an NFL coach in Pittsburgh and me playing little league football, high school football in Pittsburgh. I've always had sort of a target.
Right.
So I'd say that's out of anything, for my dad being an NFL coach, that's probably the biggest thing, is that I've always had a target. So, like, I've built, like, a mental toughness from that. So I'd say that's the biggest thing that I've gotten out of it. With him, though, I mean, yeah, he's kind of intense, but I'm used to it. So I wouldn't say it's, like, unbearable. But, right. Yeah, he's probably more intense than the average person, for sure.
All right, so I got to ask before we let you go. You're sitting around the dinner table. It's just you and the family, right?
Yes, sir.
Did your father really get in Jacoby Jones' way on purpose?
Hey, man. It's however you want to tell it.
Yeah, it's a Baltimore Sportcast. We had to ask. We would have got a lot of flack if we didn't ask.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no, but. I don't even know, really.
Yeah, I don't think it's something you let out of the bag, no matter who it is.
I'm gonna say he still should have scored, though.
I agree. 100% agree.
Yeah, Jacoby could have made it there.
Yeah, I ain't getting caught. So,
all right. Well, I hope so, man. I can't wait to see you guys on the field. I hope to see some of you. I'll be sitting in Section 7 every game, rooting your name. You might hear from us. All right.
I got you. I'm a look for you.
We're excited for it, man. For episode 1 to have you on the show, it means a lot to us.
Yeah,
man, it means a lot. I'm on the first one. I ain't even make no plays yet.
We're very happy to have you. Like I said, you know, I've reached out to a couple of the new recruits, and I was ecstatic when you responded. So I think you're really going to help us, you know, leap forward. You put us maybe 6 months
in
the future.
We just try to make it. We try to change the trajectory of the program right now.
That's what I'm saying, man. We're just trying to expose it and get it more media coverage. So I'm trying to get the audio quality number one better.
We in the Big Ten. Y'all got to do it like a Big Ten.
Exactly.
That's what our. That's why we're so frustrated, man.
All right,
man. Appreciate you taking the time and joining the show, man. Hopefully, we can do this again as the season comes rolling around.
Thank you.
All right, Dino. Take care, man.
Take care.
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. Appreciate Dino taking the time to join us on the show. It was kind of cool to get an inside perspective look at what's kind of going on with the program there.
Yeah, it really gets my juices flowing, man. This is why I did this, so I could, you know, bring an inside look and have an inside look myself to this program.
Right.
I think that this could do light years for both our show and, again, increasing the standards of the Maryland podcast around town. We're in the Big Ten, and we want to act like we're in the Big Ten and put out some quality stuff.
Couldn't agree more. But this just wraps up what we were talking about earlier with this offense and a lot of changes that we're going to see. And I think if we can see some average to above average production from the wide receiver core, which is going to stem from the quarterback play, that these running backs are just going to run wild.
They're absolutely going to run wild. I mean, last year they knew we were rushing the ball all the time. I saw some pretty shocking stats about how close we were to a winning team last year. So rushing first downs, 122. Rushing first downs for our opponents, exactly the same, 122.
Wow.
The difference, passing first downs, we had 63. Passing first downs for our opponents, 103.
And hopefully we'll see an uptick on that this year.
Yeah, and then we've changed in coaching, which hopefully will help this next thing. Penalty first downs for the Terps, we only got 17. Penalty first downs for our opponents, 33. That's sloppy play.
That's double.
And we're not talking blowouts. I mean, points per game last year, 28.5 for the Terps, 28.67 for our opponents. We were in almost all the games. And another strange stat that even though I watched every single game, I couldn't have came up with, our opponents were 16 for 16 on field goals. In college, 100% field goal rate makes no sense.
Yeah, so you don't see that.
You miss a few field goals, we got a few wins, and we're in a bowl. We're really a lot closer than people believe.
I 100% believe that. That's why I said earlier this year, I think that we could be an 8-win team. I don't think it's going to be we're on the cusp of being a bowl team this year. I think we'll actually be in a legitimate, decent bowl.
I think that'd be great for us. And with the recruiting class we got locally, hopefully that helps pull in some local kids. And then you're talking about a rocket ship of this program.
All right. So let's switch gears a little bit here. Let's talk a little bit about the hoops program. And there's been a lot of changes again with this program. One of which is we're losing a pretty important cog to this team as Bruno Fernando saw his NBA dreams come a reality this past NBA draft last Thursday. Bruno goes second round not quite as high as you and I expected. You and I had talked prior to the draft. We thought he might end up in Atlanta, but we thought he could end up in Atlanta at picks 8 or even 10 in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting 8 so much, but I did talk about 10. And they also had a pick at 17 if there was an option before they made the trade with the Pelicans and got rid of 17, which did kind of hurt my predictions. But he ended up right where I thought he would in Atlanta. We've built the NBA Terp squad.
Right.
We got Alex Len, Kevin Herter, and Bruno Fernando down there. The only other active Maryland Terps in the NBA is Jake Layman out in Portland. He was a restricted free agent this year, so I don't know if they can pull some magic and just bring all the Terps together. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be a hell of a lot of fun. Then you got Steve Blake down there doing things as a coach in Phoenix. So a lot of Terps in the effect in the NBA trying to make their mark, man. And I think Bruno is going to be, and this isn't just being a homer, I really truly believe Bruno is going to be a steal in this draft, getting him in the second round.
Yeah, if he's not a star, he's definitely going to be a contributor. I mean, you just get his work and want to, and the size that he has, he can come off the bench, get you some big rebound minutes, play some lockdown D, a few big blocks. I mean, you're not looking for a ton as a second round pick. Now, again, I don't want to harp on the second round pick because he was number 34. There's 30 teams, so he just cracked it. But he was a second round pick. A lot of people gave him a hard time about it, but he's still going to get paid. He's still getting a nice contract, and he wanted to be the first player drafted out of Angola into the NBA, and he accomplished that. The whole first round argument is a bigger deal for the Terps than it is Bruno. We wanted to say we had back to back first round NBA draft picks. Now we just have to say we had back to back draft picks into the NBA.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's still a hell of accomplishment for him. I do think that this is going to end up being a steal for Atlanta to be able to get this guy in the second round. The drive that he has, the want to that he has, maybe we won't see as much production from him offensively as we saw in college, but I do think where he transitions well to the NBA is defense. His ability to block shots, his ability to get rebounds, his hustle, that's where we're going to see the biggest, I think, leap at the next level.
And you won't, maybe on offense scoring, you won't, because he can't physically dominate. But last year, his sophomore season, he showed his ability to distribute, his passing ability. And with all the shooters they got around him, that young team they're building, that could be a really big thing in his future.
Couldn't agree more. Now, there are a few guys that are coming in this year for this hoop squad. Some guys that obviously can bring some big things to this Terp squad. There's been preseason rankings having this team in the top 10 already. And let's run down some of these guys. We got a couple of twins coming in. Twins are you're familiar with.
Yeah, the Mitchell twins are coming in. Makai Mitchell being the highest ranking as a father of twin girls. Recruit eligible 2035, University of Maryland, if you're listening. I do enjoy with both the Gaddy and Mitchell twins now. Makai's a 4-star, 6'9", 225. So he'll be in the mix for that starting center position, as well as obviously Jalen Smith may move to the 5, get in the weight room a little bit and bulk up for it. And he showed the want to and the ability to get in the weight room last year. He was throwing in extra workouts in January during that long run.
Right. And another guy that's going to be competing for that center position is a guy that we ended up getting late, a guy that comes in out of Sudan, Chol Merrill.
Yeah, Chol Merrill, he's still out in Arizona training. That's where he was playing his high school ball. He's the only Maryland signee that has not reported to campus yet. It's all about health, apparently. Wanted to stay with his doctors that have been following him, his training staff that's been following him until school starts.
Yeah. And I think that the thing that can't go unmentioned with this squad is one of the challenges I think that Turgeon has had is never been about his recruiting ability. I think, and maybe it's me giving him a little too much flack and a little too much criticism. I think
Maryland's
the biggest
good at that.
the biggest criticism that he takes is his ability as an X's and O's coach in game, right? I mean, everybody raves about how this guy is in the locker room and all the players love playing for him and that he's great in practice, but his ability to coach in game has been questioned. And a guy that they bring in from another Big Ten school, DeAndre Haynes, that's this guy's specialty.
Yeah, he was under Jim Boeheim over at Michigan. Jim Boeheim moved to the NBA. So, of course, all of his assistants were looking for jobs. And we happened to have an open position after transfer to was Morgan or Howard, one of the local schools. I can't remember. But bring him in, and hopefully it'll be an in-game support. And obviously he's from a big-time program. He understands the Big Ten inside and out and could really be a big help for us.
Now, one of the guys you mentioned earlier that is returning, and there were some questions whether or not he was going to return or not. I thought if he left, it was going to be a little too early for this guy. Jalen Smith, what can we expect out of him? Do we see him take the next step in growth? Obviously, there were some question marks around his size and his physicality, especially against some of the bigger teams. Are these some areas you think we'll see him work on and develop?
I think he showed the willingness to do so. I think he showed that he was putting in work, which is something Joel Mariel is going to also need, is to get in the weight room with Jalen Smith.
Right.
The big thing was the size. Now, if him as a freshman versus Bruno as a freshman, Jalen Smith is a better player. So if he can take a Bruno-like step, he could be a real player.
That would be exciting. And I mean, another guy I think that we both want to see take the next step, a guy that kind of tested the NBA waters a little bit this year. He ended up going to some of the pre-draft workouts and kind of seeing where he might stand within, you know, NBA scouts' opinions. Anthony Cowan. This is a guy that, very hot or very cold, he shows up and plays big, or he kind of tucks away and we don't see or hear a lot from him, or he can go cold and not really put up the numbers that we hoped. We've got some really good guards taking another step that are freshmen that are going to be coming in this year as sophomore that we hope to see some growth from them. Maybe that subsides a little pressure on Anthony Cowan and we see him flourish.
Yeah, I don't know if it's pressure, but I do know that he plays a lot of minutes, way more minutes than I'd like to see anybody play.
Right.
Anthony Cowan's number one skill is his speed, his shiftiness, his ability to just go to the bucket. And you can't do that at less than 100%. Like when you're winded playing 36, 37, 38 minutes like he has been, you're not going to be as shifty as you are if you can take 10 minutes off a game and let some of this depth really show through.
Right.
So I'm hoping that the depth, like you said, with Eric Ayala and Daryl Morcel and all the people we have that can give him a breather.
Sorrell Smith,
yeah, Anthony Wiggins.
Right.
This is one of the deepest teams we've ever had. 2 years ago, we needed Kevin Huerter and Anthony Cowan to play 40 minutes a game. It was the only option. We didn't have anybody else.
Agreed.
But that's not the case now. There are some real people, some real promise. And if you can keep Anthony at 100% through the game, keep him from huffing and puffing and hands on his knees, then he can really show off for both the squad and help his draft status. I don't think we've ever seen him not winded. We don't know what he looks like in a fourth quarter when he was given legitimate rest.
Right.
So I hope this happens.
And I think he had a lot of pressure on him because he was stepping into a role that was vacated by one of the better guards in Maryland history, by Mello Tremble, taking his talents and going to professional basketball. And I think a lot of people hoped that we would see the late game heroics and the same type of player out of Anthony Cowan. And that's a lot for anybody to take on.
And he shows it sometimes and other times he doesn't. But, right. You know, it's a recency bias. I'm sure there were plenty of times Mello failed on us, too, that we all forget about.
Right, exactly. Now, a guy you mentioned, Eric Ayala, I know he's one of your favorite players and a guy that I was pretty impressed with his poise as a freshman. Played very well under control, didn't turn the ball over a whole lot, got others involved. I think the one frustrating thing for me was he's such a good shooter that I wanted to see him shoot more, and I felt like he was a little too passive. Do you think we see his game evolve and change a little bit this year?
I really think so. I think Eric, you watch him play, it's almost in slow motion. He's so under control. Looks like an old man out there playing on the court. He knows exactly what's going on. He's really an old school pass first, he's survey in the court type point guard.
Traditional point guard.
And yet when he shoots the ball, it's pretty dang good. He's one of the best on the team, especially from three. I think Eric will be a four-year star for us, and I think Eric's career could be one of the better ones we've had at University of Maryland. I mean, this as a freshman, he just looks like he's already poised, he's already there. And if he can continue that growth, could be really big things. We haven't had a four-star, you know, valuable player. This year will be Anthony Cowan, but before that, Jake Lehman was last one actually produced and was here 4 years. We had a few seniors transfer in and have good years, but not that grew with the Terps.
Right. Completely agree. There's a lot to be excited about with both of these programs, both football and basketball. I can't be more excited as a Terps fan going into both of these years. This could be, again, the kind of change in the tide of this university. And I think there's a lot of things that we could see happen very positive for this program.
I'm really excited. We're getting this started. I mean, next episode, we'll be getting into the defense for the football season, and yeah. Then your season, the episode after that, will already be in season for football. This is flying.
Right. So for anything that you guys want to hear us talk about, if you have any questions, make sure you send your questions in to shellandtellpod@gmail.com. That's S-H-E-L-L, the letter N, T-E-L-L-P-O-D @gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on all the social media platforms. You can follow our Twitter page @shellandtellpod. You can follow Ryan @TerpsBespert and follow me @FredBLBS. Also, be sure to check out our website, www.birdlandbs.com/shellandtell, for all the latest episodes and news surrounding the show. We appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the show and joining us on this venture as we continue to bring you Terps coverage from here on out.
And had Fred mentioned the website, birdlandbs.com. Please check out Birdland BS. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, Baltimore Orioles fan, anything outside of the Terps window that we're not covering here, that's definitely your spot to go. That's how I met Fred. Great quality work, and that's why I'm working with him. I just can't thank Fred enough. I can't be more excited for how well this first episode went.
Yeah, Ed, for sure.
No way, impossibly can I thank Dino Tomlin enough for joining us on the show and really hopefully just projecting us forward in the future and getting us in front of more listeners and really helping us help this program in the future.
Big thanks again to Dino. Big thank you to everybody out there who's listened to the show. And until next time, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.